Shiro studied me for a moment and then asked,
"Would Michael help him?"
Charity's voice drifted out of the cavernous walk-in pantry. "My husband is sometimes an idiot." Shiro nodded and said,
"Then I will assist you in his stead, Mr. Dresden."
"You'll what?" I asked.
"I will be your second in the duel."
"You don't have to do that," I said. "I mean, I'll figure out something." Shiro lifted an eyebrow.
"Have the weapons been set for the duel?"
Not yet," I said.
"Then where is the meeting with the emissary and your opponent's second?"
I fished out the card I'd gotten from the archive. "I don't know. I was told to have my second call this number." Shiro took the card and rose without another word, heading for the phone in the next room. I put my hand on his arm and said, "You don't need to take any chances. You don't really know me."
"Michael does. That is enough for me."
The old knight's support was a relief, but I felt guilty somehow for accepting it. Too many people had been hurt on my behalf in the past. Michael and I had faced trouble together before, looked out for each other before. Somehow it made it easier for me to go to him to ask for help. Accepting the same thing from a stranger, Knight of the Cross or not, grated on my conscience, or maybe on my pride. But what choice did I have? I sighed and nodded. "I just don't want to drag someone else into more trouble with me." Charity muttered,
"Let me think. Where have I heard that before?"
Shiro smiled at her, the expression both paternal and amused, and said,
"I'll make the call."
I waited while Shiro made a call from the room that served as the family study and the office for Michael's contracting business. Charity stayed in the kitchen and wrestled a huge crock pot onto the counter. She got out a ton of vegetables, stew meat, and a spice rack and set to chopping things up without a word to me. I watched her quietly. She moved with a kind of precision you only see in someone who is so versed at what they are doing that they are already thinking of the steps coming 20 minutes in the future. I thought she took her knife to the carrots a little more violently than she needed to. She started preparing another meal somewhere in the middle of making the stew, this one chicken and rice and other healthy things I rarely saw in 3 dimensions. I fidgeted for a bit until I stood up, washed my hands in the sink, and started cutting vegetables. Charity frowned at me for a moment. She didn't say anything, but she got a few more veggies out and put them down next to me, then collected what had been cut so far and pitched them into the crock pot. A couple of minutes later, she sighed, opened a can of Coke, and put it on the counter next to me.
"I worry about him," she said.
I nodded and focused on cucumbers.
"I don't even know when he'll be home tonight."
"Good thing you have a crock pot," I said.
"I don't know what I would do without him, what the children would do. I'd feel so lost."
"What the hell?" An ounce of well-intentioned but irrational reassurance didn't cost anything. I took a sip of the Coke. "He'll be all right. He can handle himself. And he has Shiro and Sonya with him."
"He's been hurt 3 times, you know."
"3? I asked.
3. With you. Every time."
"So it's my fault. My turn to chop vegetables like teenagers in a slasher movie. I see." I couldn't see her face, but her voice was, more than anything else, tired.
"It isn't about blame or whose fault it is. All that matters is that when you're around, my husband, my children's father, gets hurt."
The knife slipped, and I cut off a neat little slice of skin on my index finger.
"Ow!"
I snarled. I slapped the cold water on in the sink and put my finger under it. You can't tell with cuts like that how bad they are going to be until you see how much they're leaking. Charity passed me a paper towel, and I examined the cut for a minute before wrapping the towel around it. It wasn't bad, though it hurt like hell. I watched my blood stain the paper towel for a minute, and then I asked,
"Why didn't you get rid of me, then?"
I looked up to see Charity frowning at me. There were dark circles under her eyes that I hadn't noticed before.
"What do you mean?"
"Just now," I said. "When Shiro asked if Michael would help me, you could have said no."
"But he would have helped you in an instant. You know that."
"Shiro didn't." Her expression became confused.
I don't understand.
You could have lied. Her face registered comprehension, and some fire came back into her eyes.
I don't like you, Mr. Dresden. I certainly don't care enough for you to abandon beliefs I hold dear, to use you as an excuse to cheapen myself, or to betray what my husband stands for.
She stepped to a cabinet and got out a small, neat medical kit. Without another word, she took my hand and the paper towel and opened the kit.
So you're taking care of me? I asked.
I don't expect you to understand. Whether or not I can personally stand you, it has no bearing on what choices I make. Michael is your friend. He would risk his life for you. It would break his heart if you came to grief, and I will not allow that to happen.
She fell silent and doctored the cut with the same brisk, confident motions she'd used for cooking.
I hear that they make disinfectants that don't hurt these days. But Charity used iodine.